Dr. Jill Richardson is the chair of Wales's COVID-19 vaccine programme. I spoke to Dr. Richardson and began by asking for a progress report on the vaccine programme in Wales.
Well, I'm delighted to say, Lynn, that the programme is going really well. We are having record turnouts. We have reached 95% or over for all of those groups that were done in that 1 to 4, over 70s. The social care workers, the care home workers and the healthcare workers, and the care home residents. All of the age groups are now 95 and over, and the very high 80s for the professions. So I think the NHS in Wales is smashing it out of the park, to be honest. So far, we have done 1.25 million first doses, well over 1/3 of a million second doses. So we're actually the top performing in the UK per 100,000 people, with 45% of adults having had their first and 1 in 4 of those having had their second.
And what about the recent news that Public Health England have said they can't get the vaccines they were expecting? What is the knock-on effect for Wales, if any?
Wales began preparing for this quite a while back. When we reached the halfway mark of one of the vaccines that we were given, on what we knew we were allocated by UK, we decided that we needed to switch and we needed to make sure that we gave people that second dose. So that was the Pfizer vaccine. And so we had to switch on the 15th of February. So in fact, the second doses, Wales is kind of like probably about 10% ahead of the other nations at the moment. So they're prioritising their second doses now. But because we already had a blended model feeding that in, we don't think that we're going to have to stop our first doses at all of the AstraZeneca. We think that we're going to be able to carry on. We will obviously continue with the second dose programme as well, but we think that we'll be giving more first doses than second right up into mid-April. And then hopefully we will be getting more deliveries then. These are very new vaccines, but they've been through very stringent testing. And I have to say that the surveillance of vaccination is extremely tight. And before any batch of vaccine gets released, an individual batch of vaccine will be tested itself by the MHRA, which is the medicines regulator in the UK. What happened in Europe seemed to be quite a disproportionate reaction, really. Because in the UK, we'd already used 11 million doses of AstraZeneca, and we had not had any reported issues. In Wales, we've looked, and the worst thing has been anaphylaxis, and 5 people have had a full anaphylaxis. That's in 440,000 doses, you know, when we looked at that. We do know that the European Medicines Agency, the World Health Organization, and the UK Medicines Regulator have now all agreed that this is a safe and this is an effective vaccine.
So obviously, you strongly recommend people attend when they receive their appointment to go for the vaccine.
Absolutely. I think it's really important, particularly for people who are partially sighted or blind, when it's difficult maybe to say whether you're socially distancing or not. It's very important for individuals to go and get that offer and make sure that they're safe and they're protected. And once they've had their full course, they should be protected for up to a year at least. So, yeah.
Are blind and partially sighted people receiving their appointments in an accessible format?
So health boards have had quite a lot of liaison with RNIB. RNIB has been helping us on the deployment board to look at issues of accessibility and also about vaccine equity, everybody getting a fair chance. So people should receive a text message and then a letter. And then if they're not responding, there should be a phone call. And of course, if people are going to be called by their GPs know their preferences and their GPs will be aware of their condition. And as far as the information about the actual vaccine itself is concerned and the details about the vaccine and the side effects and frequently asked questions, etc., the Public Health Wales website has a section and there's an audio description area so they can click on their language of choice and there's an audio description and there's also easy read, large font available.
Some people are having their vaccine with their local GP. Others may have to travel to a vaccination centre. What provision is made for blind and partially sighted people when they arrive?
They are able to just alert the meter and greeter at reception. Then they will be able to be guided if they need that, or their assistant will come in with them. Also, there should be provision for guide dogs at the centres, and they will be led through the system. Depending on what vaccine they've had, they may have to be waiting for 15 minutes before they can leave. If they're called to a centre, it's usually because a health board has decided on a particular strategy. So, for instance, it could be that they are asking the GPs to do a certain age group, that they are doing another age group in the mass centres. So as not to delay your immunisation, I would strongly advise to attend wherever you're invited, really. But if you honestly can't, then of course, do get in touch with them to try and change. But if you need to have transport to a centre, we have travel line services. And also, we recently had the Community Transport Association, which is the umbrella association for all the voluntary transport outfits in Wales. And they've offered to give a clear breakdown health board by health board of who is there and who's available to assist.
Just to reiterate, initially get in touch with whoever has sent you your appointment information.
Yes, sometimes it will be also on the website for the health board. So just check that first, because it could be that that's where it is. In some areas, such as Powys, the local authority are actually taking care of the transport needs. So it's just best to check locally first on the website if that's a possibility. And then if not, then to alert them that you're going to need some transport.
How do you see the vaccine programme rolling out, Dr. Richardson?
We've said that we'll do everybody over 50 by the middle of April. The change in supply might just mean that it might be the 18th as opposed to the 15th. You know, it shouldn't alter things too badly, to be honest. The end of July is then the next milestone for everybody who is over 18. We have had conversations, you know, with UK government about the fact that we would love to do our 16 and overs, really. But that has to be a Four Nations decision guided by the Joint Commission on Vaccination, which is a UK body. Because the vaccine immunity we know lasts at least a year, and as we study it, we'll know more. Does it last longer? But it could well be that some of the vulnerable groups, if you think of some of the early ones that had it done in December and January, you know, it may well be that some of the elderly, some of the clinically extremely vulnerable, they might need a top-up booster. And we don't know the extent of who will need that top-up booster yet, because that will depend on the studies that we're doing to check how long the antibodies last. But it's just important to say we still don't know how much this vaccine interrupts transmission from the nose. And so it's conceivable that somebody might be protected themselves. They're not going to get ill. They're not going to have to go to hospital themselves. However, they may still be able to spread it to others. And so the advice, until enough of us are immunised, and we're talking, you know, 80 to 90%, then the advice is still very much hands, face, space. Make sure that you wash your hands. If you are going shopping, put on your face covering and try and keep that distance and ventilate where you are. Particularly in the summer, you know, let's get that air circulating and get rid of any virus in the air. The virus doesn't like sunlight. Sunlight is really good at inactivating it. But if anybody is feeling unwell, of course, self-isolate and get that test.
Dr. Jill Richardson, Chair of Wales's COVID-19 Vaccine Programme on RNIB Connect Radio.